John, we'll be looking at 6 down through 1 through 15, actually. Some of your Bibles are broken up at 14. Some go down past that. We're going to go 1 through 15. But even before I read, I want to kind of just a quick recap on what's been happening, just kind of because it flows from here, the way that it goes into this. We have Jesus, again, the explanation that John the Baptist gave for who Christ was and what his part was in that, and just explaining the glories of Christ to the people is what John, the writer of the Gospel, is doing here and making it, remembering that he's writing. This is the later Gospel. This is written 87 to 90 A.D. So the people that are reading this are needing to hear this. The other Gospels have been written, and by the way, this is the only miracle that you will see in all four of the Gospels, where there's this kind of account. This lines it up with the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. This is an important time. But after John, then we see that Jesus is going about and he's gathering up some men. But he also then, we see the, remember the water changed to wine at the wedding feast. And then we went to the woman at the well, the man who was crippled, and then to the Jews who were persecuting Christ. And now we get to this. And I'm going to start actually reading in verse 47 of the last, just to flow it in. And it says, "But if you do not believe his writings, you will not believe my words. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore, Jesus, lifting up his eyes and coming and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?' This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little.' One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people?' Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the leftover fragments, so that nothing will be lost.' So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed to them, they said, 'This is truly the prophet who has come into the world.' So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone." Let's pray. Father God, we pray that as we have looked at your word this morning, and that you will help us as we consider it to be able to glean as much of the goodness as we can from it, of what you're doing, of what is intended for us to see, not only in the material sense, but also what you're saying to us that applies in a more spiritual way. We thank you, Lord, for this word today. We will pray that it will be a blessing to us. Amen. There is so much to be said here. I used two commentaries this week for this. I used A.W. Pink and Bishop Ryle's commentary, which are both very similar, actually. I was surprised. But then as I've looked at some other stuff, I find that too. Again, just for matter of fact, because I said this account is in all four of the Gospels, we're not going to read all four of them, but I'm going to pick one randomly. I picked Luke. You can look at the other ones today yourself, and I encourage you to do so because each of these accounts is a little bit different, and it tells a little bit more fully some of the things that Christ is trying to get across to us here. And I say Christ, that God is trying to get across to us, because each one of these particular Gospels is bringing forth a different message of the idea they want you to see in Christ specifically. And so in the one we read first, we don't see as much of the compassion in Christ. But let me read this in Luke chapter 9, verse 12. And going down a little bit, says, "Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, 'Send the crowd away, that we may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. And get, for here we are in a desolate place.' But he said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said, 'We do not have more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people.' For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to the disciples, 'Have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each.' They did so and had them sit down. Then he took, speaking of Christ, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full." And so did you see some of the little different things? And even where it said he had them sit down in groups of 50, I believe Mark said he had them sit down in groups of hundreds and 50. And John, it says that he, Jesus, passed it out. Here it says that he, Jesus, gave it to his disciples and they passed it out. It also mentions that when he prayed for the bread, he also broke it. And what does this show us? What's the picture that we see here? We see the picture of the Lord's Supper. And I thought this was beautiful that we ended up here today, because we've looked at the story where Jesus made the wine and again the wine, and he did this miraculously. This is the closest to this sort of miracle that we see, where Jesus actually, but as we see this, we see also that what was taking place, this was also the Passover time. Now, interestingly enough, I think it was Pink commentated that the Passover, it became where it says that it was now the Jewish feast. It had become something different than it originally become or was, because the Jews had gotten so far away from God at this time. It was just like many of their other feasts. But he's drawing us back to the true significance here, because if you remember the Passover, what did they do at the Passover? They marked the doors with blood from a lamb. Then they ate the lamb. They cooked and ate the lamb. I think it was the next day. But we see this wonderful picture of the Lamb of God. We see the Passover. And we see even in this story where it says, and I liked in John, get back to John, where it says that in And I'll touch on this a little more. There was much grass in the place. And this reminded me so much of in Psalm 23, of the water and the green pastures where he leads them to, because Christ took them here. Now, one of the things I also want you to see that's not in this gospel, wasn't in Luke, it's in Matthew and Mark, the both of them, if you look in there later, you'll see and read before this account, right before, and you'll see why Jesus left. It says, all it says here is, after these things, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. Now, there was a reason that he went away. It wasn't just that the Jews were being difficult and that he was tiring of them. John the Baptist had been beheaded. And this news had just been brought to Christ. And so he went away by himself in a boat. And the crowds, these crowds followed him. Now, I want us to keep in mind the crowds, because we're going to talk about the crowds a little later on. Because it was a large crowd following him. And as I said in this, it says a large crowd followed him because they saw the signs that he was performing on those who were sick. We're only reading a few accounts, and that's what I've tried to tell you along the way here, that we're not getting all that Jesus was doing. He was already quite active in the ministry, and there were many people he was already healing. And there was one distinction here that I think it was Ryle made in his thing, that the other miracles were quite different than this. And I was going to ask you the question, and just think about this for a minute or two. You may already know, you don't have to raise your hand or anything. What does this passage have in common with Genesis chapter 1? And I'm looking and I'm seeing people going, huh? Well, I'm going to tell you in just a couple of minutes here. Because it's important that we see this, that this was a miracle where Jesus did something completely out of the ordinary. In the case of those he was healing, he was only mending. He was fixing something that was already there, even with the water to the wine. He changed one thing into the other. Here we see the creative power of God. He is making something essentially out of nothing. He's not turning the bread. Now we could also say, well, he's multiplying it. He did use bread and fish. But we see more the creative in this wonderful, miraculous work of Christ here. And how he's doing this. And this really, I think, stunned the people. And this is, I think, what it was meant to do. Was to stun the people. And to allow them to see that God can do more than turn water into wine. Because, by the way, they had other people that could do magician tricks back then. And some of them were pretty darn good. They do it today. They have people that can take jugs of water and turn them into wine. You go, how'd you do that? What was the trick? So they might think, oh, that could have been a trick, and maybe the guy really wasn't sick. We have fake healing ministries today, where people were getting healed of stuff that they never actually had. And they had stuff like that going on then, too. They were scams. They were used to make money. Now, the one thing we never see, I wanted to just bring this, I didn't even think about this till just as I said that. You ever see Jesus taking donations? You know, the love offering, anything like that, you know. The people were still encouraged to give to Caesar what belonged to Caesar and to God what belonged to God. This miracle was indisputable. There was no way that they could do this. The people were all sitting there right around them.
They saw the loaves and the fish being brought up to them. They stood and listened, and you can be sure that every eye was not closed and every head was not bowed. There were people probably thinking, you know, I want to see how he's going to do this. And by the way, the normal attitude wasn't to just pray like that. When you prayed, you were either on your knees or on your face, or you were standing. But when he prayed, he broke the bread, and then he passed it out. And this wonderful and miraculous thing was taking place. It kept on going. Kind of like the Energizer Bunny to me when I see, you know, just keeps on going and going. They keep passing it. And I know that the people in the back, you know, you're sitting in the back and you're thinking, we're not getting anything, a crumb or two. And this was, I'd even thought about bringing a piece of bread in and passing it around to see if everybody could get full on one piece of bread. This is the picture that we see here. Not that they all just ate, but they all ate till they were full. And not only did they all eat till they were full, but then there was still more left. And this is a wonderful picture we see of the grace of God being poured out in our lives. Again and again, God gives us, and it runs over. The picture, my cup runneth over. And there's more. And there's takeaway, as they call it, scoffing. Takeaway. We get to take some for later. There's more than enough, is what Jesus was showing them. But let's get back to the text here for a minute. I get so carried away and ahead of myself, it scares me at times. And it says that Jesus went up to the mountain. And by the way, this was common. Jesus spent time alone. Jesus grieved as a man when he lost friends. It was painful for him that John should have lost his head in that way. And yet, he could rejoice at the same time that he knew that John was with his Father in heaven. So he went up there to the mountain and he sat down with his disciples. Now I thought that this was interesting, and I think it was Pink that pointed out that Jesus would be with his own. He had enough of these Pharisees that he had been arguing with, that he had been dealing with. And now he wanted to spend some time with his own. And by the way, this does not count the 5,000 or there. Because although this is a wonderful and great number, and we're all excited about the big groups, and yay for the thousands of people that came out, these people did not all become his disciples. Many of them were there because they had sickness in the family, or themselves. I don't think they were there for the food itself, because there had been no mention of free lunch or anything. They had followed because they wanted to be healed. They wanted to have some of that miraculous power of Jesus Christ poured out into their life, if it was real. But now he's showing them that not only is it real, but it's real to an extent you can't even imagine. And that's for us. That's for us. Again, our minds are small. We can only fit in so much of this good stuff. And then we are full. We're kind of like full. And there's still left over. There's still more. We can have more later. Now, it doesn't say what he did with that leftovers, by the way. What it does show is that there was more when they were done than when they started. Far more than when they started. Again, shows you the greatness of the power of God. I'll even take that to the point of the new heaven and the new earth. When God started, we had one earth. He destroyed it once. He created a new earth with Noah. And then there's going to be yet another one. And it's going to be better yet. We see this gracious working power of God in all these things. And so here is the one lesson we see that we should take with this. This is a lesson about God, about Christ's almighty power. Not just God's almighty power, but Christ. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Jews were thinking Yahweh. And now they're seeing this man that can do miracles. He can heal people. He can turn water into wine. But he can create out of nothing. And the picture we should see here is not that he had the loaves and the fishes. He didn't need them. They're representative. And they're representative, especially when we see the loaves, of his own body. That which he so graciously gives out to us. He has poured himself out so that we might be saved. What's in it for Jesus? Us. Us. Remember, it's not like, no, he doesn't get any. He gets us. We are the bride of Christ. We're the ones that he came to do that for, so that he might have us, so that he might clean us and make us spotless and blameless and bring us and be presented to him as his wonderful bride. But he didn't do it so that he could gain. He did it because he loved us. Because he had chosen us. We were his own. But let's go down here a little bit. It says, now the Passover feast, the feast of the Jews, was near. And therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing the large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, Philip, you know, I was thinking when I heard that, I was thinking about the story R.C. Sproul told about when he was in one of the classes with Dr. Gerstner, and he asked this question, and kind of started. He was standing up here and Sproul was way down here, and Sproul's thinking, I have to get off the hook on this one. But as he answered the questions going down, nobody was giving the right answer. And he got to Sproul and he actually gave the right answer, and then Gerstner made fun of him. But this would not be the case. But we see that Jesus was asking with the question. He says to him, Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? And then it says right there, this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he intended to do. He wanted to see, Philip, how have you grown just in this last short time we've been together? How have you grown to trust me? What are we going to do, Philip? What are we going to do here? Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? What was Philip's going, I don't know, Lord. You don't know, I don't know. And then so they start using the reasoning. Philip answered him and said, 200 denarii. And remember, a denarii's worth a day's wages. So you got 200 days wages here. Worth of bread is not sufficient for them. For everyone to receive even a little. Oh, you can just see the mind spinning. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The other Gospels made it clear it was already getting dark. Nighttime was sneaking up on them. Oh, by the way, one of them says that when Jesus came down and was talking to them, he taught them many things. This wasn't just that they followed him and then it was getting dark and they said, hey, what are we going to do about these people? They had already sat with Jesus and he had taught them many things. Again, you have to read all four accounts to really get the whole story, the picture there. Philip's mind is spinning. And then one of the other disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here. And this almost seems like, oh, here's a solution. There's a lad here and who has five barley loaves and two fish. Oh. You know, as soon as it comes out of his mouth, it already sinks flat. And you already see, well, that will never do. And that seems to be the case here. But what are these for so many people? And Jesus' response was not there, "Come on, guys, think harder. Get it together." He says simply to them at this point, "Have the people sit down." And now there was much grass in that place. Now, that was interesting to me that they even brought that up. You know, did we really need to know there was a lot of grass there? Except for the picture again. If we see Jesus as the great shepherd. And where does the shepherd take his sheep? But to fresh pastures. Places of comfort. And trust me, sitting on grass, and we all know this, is much more fun than sitting on rock. Especially if you're going to have a picnic. Nobody wants to go and sit on the rocks and have. You want to go to a grassy place where you can kind of kick back. The grass smells better. And so this is the picture we see of even this is important to see. So it says, "So the men sat down, a number of about 5,000. Now there's great dispute. It just says men. I think that the terminology there is speaking toward the people. The others make it a little more clear that there seem to be more than just men there. I would think that. But the truth is the women and children were pretty busy in those days. The men were busy too. But the men would be more able to follow around at this point in that sense. But regardless of how many of them were men or women, Jesus then took the loaves and having given thanks, it says he distributed them. I like the one where it says he broke them. Because that draws our attention to the Lord's Supper. And we see that not only, and again, this is Jesus' practice. So again, we follow or should follow his practice, although we probably don't do it as much as we should or as perfectly. Jesus, when he had a meal, it seems always took time to give thanks first. And by the way, it was the Jewish custom not only to give thanks before, but also after the meal. So he kind of had two opportunities to thank God. And sometimes you give God thanks before and a lot more after because it was a really good meal. And probably other times you gave thanks before and then you gave thanks after once more. Just because God took care of you. And so he says here, "Have the people sit down." And then it says, "Having taken the loaves, giving them thanks, he distributed to those who were seated." And like I said, in the other one, it talks about the others passing out. And in Matthew and Mark and Luke, the other disciples were passing this out. So is it much like we do? When we do the Lord's Supper, it is the elders who come and pass it out to you. And that does not make the pastor representative of Christ, but in the authority that we have given as the priest and the leaders and the church, we're following the same pattern in our partaking of the Lord's Supper. The big difference here is when we have the Lord's Supper, how many of you are full after you have this little bit, that little piece? Some of you may want to have another little piece, depending on who makes it and how good it is that day. But he says he distributed to those who were seated, likewise for the loaves, and then having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. This is like the first all-you-can-eat. I mean, do you see any other place where it says anything quite like that? As much as they wanted, they could have. It wasn't like, "Hey, that's enough for you," like we do with the kids sometimes. "That's enough. You're having too many meatballs," or whatever. Here, Jesus is given out, and they're taking all that they want. Some of them may have been very hungry, and some of them may not so. Some of them may have been very thoughtful of others. Some of them maybe not so. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, and that's important for us to see again. When they were filled, when they had their fill. And that, the picture there is not bloated, but when they were comfortably filled, when they had had enough to eat. Then at that point, and then only does he tell them to gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost.
Now there's a whole passage could be preached right from that passage. But I'm not going there today. I may go back here next week or 2 weeks from now some more. So they gathered up and filled 12 baskets. Now these were baskets, not, you know, we have like things for the offering to call them. Sometimes they're baskets. And they're about this big. These were baskets. These were big baskets that they used, or fairly decent sized baskets. And they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 loaves of bread. So, the thing about 12 baskets, how many loaves are you thinking there? I'm thinking at least 100. So, a 50-fold or something. And then they filled that and with the loaves, which were over by the people. Therefore, when the people saw the sign that they had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Now, they were saying that then. But we know that when Jesus was feeding and when Jesus was healing, it was a much different story than when Jesus was teaching. When Jesus often started telling them what is required of them, it is at this point that we often see many leaving. And so is the point today, even in the church. We have churches and people come to our church sometimes and they'll ask us for food. And we'll give them food if we have it available. We'll invite them to lunch. And then they start asking more and we tell them what's required of them. And they go, "Oh, that's more than we wanted." But we see here, at least for this time, so Jesus then perceiving that they were intending. These people were excited about what Jesus had just done. They were so excited, they figured if this guy can make bread and fish out of nothing, he's the guy to be the king. Now, they weren't looking necessarily as the Messiah king. They wanted the king to defeat Rome. And I'll talk some more about this. It says that they came. He was perceiving that they were going to come and take him by force. They were going to snatch him up if they could, and make him king. You will be king. Kind of like they did with Calvin. When he says, "No, you will. You're going to do this. And if I don't, then what? Well, then here's what's going to happen. You're going to die, you know, and this." And, "Oh, boy. Yeah, I'll do that." This is the picture that we see again. And Jesus, knowing this, and there's twice here it shows that he knows things quickly. He withdraws. He escapes this crowd at this time. But again, when we look at their intention for wanting to make him a king even, it was not a good intention. They wanted it for their reasons, not for God's reasons. They wanted it for their good and not for God's glory. And this is part of what we should be seeing as we look at these accounts. So I want to encourage you all to take some time today. I mean, we're in that season. Many of the churches are already, people are talking to me, getting ready for Easter. And I'm going, no. We had a man on Friday at the hospital come and was talking to me about this, getting ready. And I'm thinking, we do the resurrection all the time. It's an all the time thing that we should be looking at the resurrection of Christ and the Lord's Supper and these things. But we are at that time of year where we see this taking place, and we see this at the beginning, early on in the ministry of Christ, that he's doing these great and magnificent things. And again, I can't tell you how much I was affected just in reading this and thinking about some of the great things, and some of them I forgot one of my sheets today, and I had some other things written on there that we may touch in 2 weeks. But there's so much information and blessing that is covered in this book as we look at Christ and the compassion of Christ as we see here. And, again, foremost, the power
that is given to Jesus Christ as the Lord and King.